first question for you, Thomas, is, you know, what is Bloodbound doing? What do you guys currently have going on? And talk about the current happenings in the band right now.
Well, right now we're actually planning on a tour in the end of March next year. We're talking to a German booking agency now, and they're looking to hook up some gigs for us, especially in Germany, and I think a few other countries as well in Europe. So we're trying to get some gigs outside of Sweden. We've done some gigs in Sweden now, and we're going to do some festivals in Sweden this summer, but we really want to go outside of Sweden and play, like supporting the new album. I guess that's the main thing we're doing right now.
Well, talk about the new album, Thomas. I mean, you have a new album out entitled In the Name of Metal. I think it's very good. I really like it quite a bit. And talk about the making of this record. You have a new singer. Well, maybe not so new singer. It's a second album in a row with you, though. And talk about the new album, In the Name of Metal.
Yeah, I think the main thing with this album was that we wanted to do something that was a bit more, you know, a little bit more over the top. Something that, you know, stands out a bit more, because our previous albums, I think, has been, you know, even there've been some good albums and some good songs and stuff, but still kind of safe within the genre. It doesn't really stand out, even though some of the songs are really good. But we wanted something a little bit more over the top, and that's what we tried to do with this new album. But not all the songs, I think. Most of the songs are kind of classic Bloodbound tracks, but we tried to put in a few over the top tracks, like the first one, In the Name of Metal, just to, for the listener, get like a aha experience. You know, this is something a little bit different, or yeah, kind of. Take it one step further.
Now, Bloodbound has put out quite a few albums over the years. You put out 5 records, and I remember when Nosferatu came out. I remember the debut, and the debut was one of my top 3 or 4 favorite albums of 2006. And, you know, it just seemed like, you know, because you just recruited, the band was basically brand new as far as working together, but you know, the one thing about that record is I thought it was awesome. But then you've put out some really good releases after that. And you have stayed pretty consistent for the last few years. So my question for you is this. You know, a lot of people aren't that familiar with your other releases, and I would like you to talk about each album, starting with the debut, and maybe talk about the debut album and how this band finally ended up getting together.
Yeah, that was, you know, Urban was, yeah, as you said, in Tad Moroz, and he is actually a friend of Frederick and me, and when we decided that we wanted to do like this, you know, to form a metal band, we started to think what singers we should contact, and he was basically the first one we thought of. So we asked him. He was in Tad Moroz at that time, so we asked him, and he was like, he wanted to do something outside of Tad Moroz as well. Like, he was, I guess you can say, he was looking for doing something different on the side. And then he came over, and we presented our ideas for the songs for the Nosferatu album. And yeah, it seemed like he liked the ideas. So we gave him, I think, 15 songs or something. And he took the songs, and he started to, he worked on a few, and then he sent us some demos of stuff, of some vocal lines and some lyrics that he had written for some of the music. And we liked it, so we decided to bring him into the band, or at least start to work with him. So that's basically how we started. And then we recorded the album, and we felt really good about the album.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's basically what happened when we started out. And then what happened next?
And yeah, you know, Nosferatu too, man. That is still one of my favorite songs that you guys have ever written, and it's also my favorite song on that album. Just the whole performance of the band, from the guitar playing to the singing, to everything about them, about you guys playing in that song, there was something magical to it, and it's still one of my favorite metal songs that I've ever actually heard.
That's actually a bit a funny story with when we recorded the Nosferatu song, because we were at Fredrik's place, and we were going to record the vocals for that Nosferatu song, and we had the vocal lines and the lyrics written, and then I showed Urban the melody and the lyrics, and he said, like, "Oh no, I can't sing that because it's a guitar melody." You know, the guitar melody in the beginning starts with, like, that's like the melody for the vocal line in the chorus as well. So he kind of refused to sing that melody at first.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I was like, it's going to be a great song if we can just work on the vocals. And after, like, trying to convince him for 2 hours or something, he finally said, okay, I'll give it a try. And then he recorded the vocals, and I edited the vocals the next day, because we laid down quite a few tracks of vocals on the song, and I edited the song the next day with all the vocals and stuff, and then I just felt that it was a really good song, and I called Fredrik, and we played the song for Urban, and he said, turned out really good. I didn't think it would. So kind of
Well, let's move on to album number two, because obviously you ended up getting Michael Borman to sing on this record at the last minute, and it was an interesting fit because Michael Borman really doesn't come off as a power metal singer. He more does like hard rock and commercial-like stuff like he did with Jaded Heart, and I thought it was interesting you had Michael Borman in the band, and maybe talk about the Book of the Dead record and getting Michael Borman to sing on it.
Yeah, that was... we had all the songs were written for the Book of the Dead album, and that's when Urban decided to leave the band, and then we didn't have a singer, and the label wanted us to make a new album. So we were looking really hard for a singer for the album, and it was difficult to find a good singer in this for this type of music, because there's not that many of them around, especially not, even though we have a lot of great singers in Sweden, most of them are already in kind of major bands. So, and eventually we hooked up with Michael. He's kind of a professional singer and sings on a lot of projects, and he's really professional, and he always does a great job. So we contacted him and sent him all the songs, and he said, yeah, this feels like a good project that I could be involved in, and he came up from Germany, and then we recorded all the vocals in Sweden for the album. And yeah, I think that album, it turned out it's a good album. It's a little bit different from Nosferatu. But as I said as well, I feel that he wasn't, you know, like a perfect fit for the music. He's a great singer and did a great performance, but maybe he's a bit more towards like the hard rock style that he does really well with his other bands.
Well, the Bloodbound album that I really, really love the most, and not only because it's my favorite album that you guys have put out, but also because of the fact that it's pretty much one of my favorite metal albums that I've ever heard, and that's Tabula Rasa. That's the next album after Book of the Dead, and I thought that record's just phenomenal. And you guys took a more aggressive, progressive approach on this record, and talk about that. Talk about the transition to writing some different style, writing a different style of metal, not a style, but maybe writing more progressive tinged songs on Tabula Rasa.
Yeah, that was when we started to tour after the Book of the Dead album. We kind of realized pretty quickly that Michael, you know, he lives in Germany, and it was difficult to do all the shows that we wanted to do because we had to fly him in, and, you know, and he had a really busy schedule recording. He has his own recording studio, and he does a lot of projects in his studio, so he didn't really have enough time to, you know, be in the band, especially for the live shows. So we contacted Urban and asked him if he wanted to stand in and do some of the shows live, and eventually he got back into the band, and that's when we started on the Tabula Rasa album. And that album is it's a little bit more progressive than the previous two, and I guess that's because both me and Urban wanted to, I guess, try something a little bit different, and he wanted to do something like, because me and Fredrik wrote most of the vocals, you know, the vocal lines and the lyrics for both the Nosferatu album and the Book of the Dead album. And Urban, kind of one of his conditions that if he was going to record his album, was that he wanted to do all the vocals and the lyrics for the album. So, and that kind of made it a bit difficult to work in the band, because Fredrik had done a lot of that job on the previous album. So it kind of ended up that I did all the music for the songs, and then when the music was ready, we sent the tracks over to Urban, and he did the vocals separately. I think he was actually in the US when he wrote the lyrics and the vocal melodies for that album, and then he sent everything back to us when we mixed the album outside of Gothenburg in Sweden. So that was kind of a different approach to the songwriting compared to both Nosferatu and Book of the Dead. I think that's why it sounds different as well.
Well, let's talk about Unholy Cross, because I think that this is an outstanding album because of the fact that it has more of an epic feel to it. You ended up getting Fredrik Johansson in to sing for the band, but the one thing I really liked about it is that it's a traditional metal sounding metal album, but at the same time it sounds really good. And talk about making that record.
Yeah, we kind of went back to, you know, to like what we did on Nosferatu and Book of the Dead when it comes to how we wrote the songs and the songwriting process, because, like I said, on the Tabula Rasa album, the collaboration didn't really work in the band, and that's eventually what led to that. We had to let Urban go as well. And, yeah, we decided to move on with Patrick. He's also in a Swedish metal band called Donal Silence, and we kind of went back to what we did on the Nosferatu album, and we're starting to get, you know, a better collaboration within the band, and I think you can hear it on the album as well. We kind of felt, because when we recorded the Tabula Rasa album and after that album, the band wasn't really working that well. We felt like it wasn't really fun anymore because there was a lot of problems in the band. And when Patrick came into the band, we started to... It was like a new start, I guess. We felt like it was fun again to write songs, and I guess you can hear that feeling on the album because it's a bit more uplifting, I guess. More like an anthem kind of feel on the album.
So within the name of metal, since you've had it out for a little while, and what kind of response have you received from the audience on this record as compared to, say, some of your past albums?
Yeah, it's been great. It's difficult to tell because it hasn't been out for that long, but it feels like we're getting, you know, better and better response for each album. Like on this album, we made our first video for the title track. And you can really see, like, it's out there on, it's been on some TV channels in Germany, and now it's out on YouTube as well, and we can tell that we get a good response, and it's about time we made a video as well, because we've done 5 albums, and this is the first video. And it's as well on the charts in Sweden, it's the best-selling album so far. So it feels like it's a step forward for the band.
Cool.
But it's difficult to tell because it's so early. And the reviews have been, you know, both up and down, I guess. And that's really what we were trying to do this time as well. Because on the previous albums, we've always gotten good reviews. Like, oh, this is a really good album, and, you know, blah, 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 and... But still, you know, the feeling has been like, yeah, it's very good and competent, and... But nothing stands out. That's what we felt when we wrote the new album as well. We wanted to... You know, it's better if... some people, you know, really love the album, and... Some people hate the album as well, because it's... We didn't want to be in the middle, like we've been all the time, like, oh, it's... Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
Like, so it's... And I think when I look at the reviews now, you can... Because on the previous albums, we haven't gotten a single bad review, you know, like... You know, some reviews have been less good, but they haven't been bad. They haven't said, like, oh, this is a, you know, 2 out of 5 or whatever, you know, like, this is a crap album.
Mm-hmm.
But on this album, you can see reviews like, oh, this is a really good album, you know, even 10 out of 10 some. And some people say, oh, this is so generic or fell out or, you know, that sort of style, and they say it's no good at all. And that's a little bit what we were looking for as well, because we wanted it to, you know, cause some kind of reaction, not just being a safe, well-produced, good album.
Well, one of the things that some of your fellow Swedish bands have done, like Falconer's done it, and even Sabaton recorded something like this, where they recorded an album in Swedish. Now, I know Sabaton did it both in English and Swedish, but then Falconer went on and came out with their last album, which was all sung in Swedish. And do you ever plan on maybe doing something like this, recording some songs or an album in Swedish?
No, not really. I think, you know, the Sabaton album was... Their music... it kind of fits the style of music a bit more than... I really couldn't see our style in Swedish. I don't know why, but it's just a bit more it's a bit more classic. So it would be strange to have it in Swedish. But it would be fun to record like one song or something and see how it sounds.
Yeah.
It would be very strange. But still, I actually we played with Sabbath on last Friday in Sweden, and they performed some of their songs in Swedish live, and most of the songs were in English, of course, but some of the stuff in Swedish, and I think their songs actually, you can't really tell the difference, because the songs sound really good in Swedish as well, so I think it's because their music fits Swedish more than what, you know, the traditional classic metal does.
Yeah.
Especially the vocals, the style of vocals. Because he's not really a high-pitch metal singer. He's more of he's got his own kind of style.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you never know. We might record a track someday.
Now,
also, Falconer did some stuff in Swedish as well. I haven't heard that.
They did. They recorded an entire album. In Swedish.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, well, it kind of fits, it's more folk music too, so I think it kind of fits a little more, I would probably say too, so.
Yeah, it's got to have that kind of twist to it, I think. Because it's more like a Scandinavian and Nordic kind of twist to it, if you have kind of folk music influences in the music.
Yeah, all of us become musicians because obviously we are fans of other musicians. We've been inspired by other people out there, and everybody has their influences. And, you know, even now there are new bands that come out that I really love, and there are old bands I still listen to quite a bit. And with the age of the iPod, it enables you to really be able to do this. And, you know, if I were to take your iPod, Thomas, and listen to it, What would be on there, and what have you been listening to lately, just, you know, as a casual music fan?
Well, at the moment, I've been listening quite a lot to the new Within Temptation album. It's not that new now, but I've listened to that for a while and thought it was pretty good. It's a very well-produced album and some great songs on it. I like that album, even though I'm not really into that style of music. I think it's a great album. And I actually downloaded some old AC/DC stuff onto my phone as well just a few weeks ago, because I used to listen to it a lot when I was younger and kind of forgot about the old albums. So I listened to, I think it was the Power Age album, and kind of rediscover how good that album is.
I love the song Riff Raff off,
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, it's excellent, and Sin City is just a very kind of raw and cool album.
Awesome.
And yeah, what others? I just have... I guess it's a kind of a mix. I listen to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, and I have some, you know, some Arch Enemy and some more modern metal as well.
Yeah.
Sweden has a lot of great metal bands. In fact, if I think of another country besides Germany or the U.S. that I really like, that really produces and puts out, has some great heavy metal bands, like basically coming out of that country, it's Sweden. And if you had to pick one band, if you had to pick one Swedish metal band to as your favorite, which one would it be?
I think In Flames is one of the best Swedish metal bands. I think they got very good songs, and they got their own style, and just a really good band, you know, a good live band. And I guess when I'm listening to music, I would a band like Nocturnal Rites. That's a really good band. I think one of the greatest, like power metal or that sort of style. He's a really good singer. Johnny from Nocturnal Rites, and it's a very good band, but they don't really play that much live anymore. Don't know why, but it's a very good band, I think.
Awesome.
They should be a lot bigger than they are.
If you could pick a musician, alive or dead, metal or non-metal, doesn't matter what genre of music this guy puts out, if you could pick one musician, Thomas, that you would want to... Well, that you would want to work with, if you could work with one person, and again, it doesn't have to be a heavy metal musician, and they could be dead, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, in a fantasy world, who would you love to work with?
That would be Angus Young from AC/DC. I think he's the greatest, you know, rock and roll musician alive today. That would be pretty cool to jam with him, I think.
Awesome.
As well, he's you know, he's not just a good guitar player. He's, you know, a good performer, and he's done so many great songs as well. He's got the whole package, you know, the technique and he plays really well, plays good stuff, and has got good songs and good stage presence and. So that would be pretty cool too. And he's a guitar player, of course, so.
Awesome.
Pretty cool to get some tricks out of him.
Well, Thomas, I do have to ask you one last question. I end off all the interviews with this. If you have any last words to say to the fans, you know, tell them right now.
Well, is there any Blood Bowl fans in the U.S.? I guess there seem to be some, because we had some, you know, response on Facebook and stuff from people from the U.S. and some people are ordering like T-shirts and stuff. Yeah, I think definitely that everybody who's into like classic metal and, you know, both heavy metal and power metal should listen to the album, and especially if they like our older stuff, because this album's got, you know, a lot of the feeling from the older albums. We've added some, you know, some over-the-top songs and tried to push it a little bit further. Well, this album, I think, has got the greatest, you know, vocal performance as well of all our albums. We've really pushed Patrick to the limit on some of the tracks. But I think it's a pretty cool album. And you don't really have to, you know, you don't really have to know much about our old albums to like it, I think, because it kind of stands out on its own.